preach in front of. So let's pray and give her some encouragement. Pray for her as she brings God's words. She's worked tirelessly preparing God's word for tonight. So let's pray, and then I'm going to invite Sue up, and she'll speak to us for the next 20 minutes or so. Let's pray. Father God, just pray for Sue. Thank you for her. Thank you, Father God, just for this whole theme that we've been looking at about being missional people. And Lord, I just pray that you would simply use her tonight. Use the preparation. Use the things that you've already spoken to her about. And may she just be a simple servant of Jesus tonight, just bringing to us what Jesus has spoken to her about. And then may we be attentive to listen to that. And Lord, the part that we need to listen to, I pray that we'd be attentive to listen to that especially. But we thank you for her. Thank you for this series about us intentionally thinking about what it means to be more missional as disciples of Jesus, because only then will we change the world. So I pray for her now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And we're going to have the camera on down here, so I know, because it just feels a bit too far away to be up there tonight. Is that okay? So can you all see me stood here? Yeah? Because we don't want to get any emails. Great. If not, we'll put the camera on. But can everybody see me okay? Okay, so we won't put the camera on. We'll just have Sue here. Sorry? Sue's, you'll all pay more attention to Sue than me, so thank you, Sue.
Thank you. Oh, hi. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Sue Comber. I'm married to Anthony, and I've got two daughters, Tamsin, who was up there, and Amelia. I'm part of the New Expressions team that meet at the manse, and we've been studying the five habits of highly missional people. This evening service preaching series has been teaching on these five habits too. And over the last 2 weeks, Daniel's covered the first habit, bless, and Christina did the second habit, eat. If you miss them, it'd be well worth listening to them on the podcasts. And now, for the third habit of highly missional people, which is listen. Listen to God. Spend time quietly in his presence. Be still. Meditate on him. Listen. Matthew 14, verse 23 says, after sending the people away, Jesus went up to a hill by himself to pray. And when evening came, Jesus was there, alone. And in Matthew 26, verse 36, Jesus said, sit here while I go over there and pray. Jesus needed to spend quiet time alone with his Father. If even Jesus needed to spend quality time listening to God, how much more do we need to do the same? The problem that we have when we try to bless others and eat with unbelievers is one of trying to get a happy balance between being on the one hand so engaged and engaging that unbelievers can't see any difference, and on the other hand being so set apart that we're irrelevant. So on the one hand, fully engaged, that can be fun, it can be relevant, but we can also be a bit gossipy and be no different. Or on the other hand, we can be set apart, but then we run the risk of being judgmental, aloof, self-righteous, pious, and unrelatable. We need to be somewhere in between, and I believe with the Spirit's help, we can be godly, intriguing, joyful, loving, and kind. Either end is easier and clearer to see and follow, but with the Spirit's prompting, it can be possible to find the middle ground. How do we do that? By adopting the third habit of highly missional people, listening. So what is listening? Tamsin, my opinionated daughter, I've got no idea where she gets that from, she suggested that I put a definition of listening in the sermon. So here it is. Listening is the ability to accurately receive and interpret messages in the communication process. Without the ability to listen effectively, messages are easily misunderstood. But what we're talking about here is listening to the still small voice of God. In 1 Kings 19, verse 11 to 13, it says, as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain, It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. God wasn't in the wind. He wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the fire. He was in the gentle whisper, the still small voice, as the King James Version describes it. Our lives can be so busy, we can get so wrapped up in the to-do lists, work, looking after children, even doing church stuff, that we can miss his still small voice. It's not the same as praying. Prayer is more about us talking. Yes, this is a form of prayer, but it's more about making time to reflect and listen and really hear, not with our ears, but with our hearts. Why do we need to listen? Well, apart from receiving wisdom and discernment to get the balance right between being withdrawn and judgmental on the one hand and immersing ourselves in the delights and pleasures of the world on the other, it's also to equip and protect us from the lies that the devil will use to prevent us from blessing others and eating together, namely fear and laziness. The devil's tricks, otherwise known as fear, can be things like persecution, fear of rejection, causing offence, not knowing what to say, not being a sociable person, worried people won't like me or getting too close to people, worried about being hurt. And the devil's tricks, otherwise known as laziness, are things like, I don't have time, I'd rather not bother, it's not worth it, I won't make a difference, I'm not clever enough, I need my own downtime, I need to take care of myself and my family. All of these may be true and valid, but the devil distorts their importance and size. Yes, we are busy. Yes, we are shy and afraid. But God can use us and equip us and bless us and excite us and inspire us and work miracles in us and through us and reach people that we thought could never be reached. Even Jesus, who was so in tune with his Father, still needed to find the time in his busy life to listen. We need to open our hearts to the Holy Spirit so that he can energize us and give us a passion and confidence. So it won't feel like a chore or a burden, and we'll be so excited about it that we won't be able to help ourselves. I kind of see listening as like when you sync your phone to the iCloud, PC or whatever. It not only charges it, but it overrides irregularities. It looks for system updates. It harmonizes everything. That's what I want us to be like with God. I want our hearts to beat with his rhythm. I want us to be excited about the things that excite him. I don't want to walk in this world blindly groping my way through the maze. I want to know I'm going the way my Lord wants me to go, saying the things that he wants me to say, doing the things that he wants me to do, and feeling the things that he wants me to feel. So how do we listen? We need to set aside a designated time. 15 to 20 minutes is widely recommended. Something can often happen after 15 minutes, and if you stop too early, you might miss it. But you have to do what works for you. We're all wonderfully individual, and God communicates to us in our own unique ways. But we do need to deliberately and intentionally make the time to listen to him, even to the extent of writing it in our calendar, if that helps. Then we need to eliminate distractions, sights, sounds, anything that could draw your thoughts away from God. Make sure we're still and comfortable, and then let God in. He already knows what you want. So start by sitting quietly and think of God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, and quietly let him wash over you. The devil will try to discourage and distract you, and that's okay. Let your thoughts come and go. Don't dwell on passing thoughts and to-dos. Let them pass by. As your breathing slows and you relax in his presence, The to-dos and distractions will slow down, and your thoughts will return more to God. If it's helpful, you can repeat a word or two centering on him. Maybe think of his names or an aspect of his character. Let your mind be filled with thoughts of him. I've got a picture of centering words you might find helpful. I'll leave them here for you to take at the end if you'd like to. As you drift into it and your thoughts slow down, you'll find them more shaped by the Holy Spirit. With practice, you'll begin to feel which thoughts are yours and which are his. Be aware, though, this doesn't feel like a natural process. It can be hard, and there are stumbling blocks, but persevere, because I promise you, this can be life-transforming. It can be a source of comfort and peace, and offer solutions or stillness in the midst of the worst crisis. It can give you confidence to keep on a path that doesn't seem to be leading anywhere. It can help you to keep going in the face of adversity. It can breathe certainty in times of doubt and confusion. It can give you direction when you feel lost. There's no end to the benefits of truly listening to God. Listening can be one of the highest forms of prayer. For those of you who know me, you'll know I'm a talker. My head is rarely quiet, and as a busy mother of two, there is rarely any peace in our lives. But I have found that this has really deepened my relationship with God. I'll tell you my story. I read the Bible and prayed regularly, but outside church, I rarely dedicated time to just listen and reflect. When God wanted to talk to me, he had to shout it over the busyness of my life. The idea of a chunk of 20 minutes quiet time felt insurmountable. So for Lent this year, rather than give up something, I decided to take on quiet reflection. I felt that I could find 5 minutes. I set an alarm so that I wasn't clock watching or distracted by that, and then I listened. God really blessed me in this 5 minutes a day, so much so that after Lent, I didn't want to stop, and I haven't stopped since. I can find 5 minutes. I can't always find 20 minutes, unless it's at the very end of the day, and then I'm more likely just to fall asleep. I just want to share what I mean by God blessing me. He seems to give me pictures that over the next week or so I think over, and they gain depth and meaning. They're pictures of real comfort to me. I'll give you an example. Over Christmas, we did a big-hearted activity, Get in the Picture, where a group of us were in Rayleigh High Street with dressing-up clothes of kings, shepherds, angels, wise men, etc., inviting people to get in the picture and have a festive photo taken that they can use on Facebook or their Christmas cards. Anthony wanted to be with Amelia and felt more comfortable approaching people when he was holding her hand. Months later, God gave me the picture of Anthony and Amelia walking up to people. They had their backs to me, and Amelia was holding her dad's hand, barely paying attention in her own little daydream world, but smiling when Anthony was talking to someone. It was a lovely scene. As the scene unfolded in my head, I felt God saying that Anthony could have talked to people on his own, but he didn't want to. He was more relatable with Amelia in tow, even though she wasn't doing much, and just felt better that she was there. That picture taught me so much about my relationship with my Heavenly Father, that he wants me to hold his hand and go with him. I don't need to know where we're going, but just know that I can be helpful just by holding his hand. That warms me to my soul. I love that picture. I love the richness and depth of it, and that God keeps bringing it to mind so many months later. That's what listening means to me. Listening to the Holy Spirit can be one of the deepest forms of prayer. Just let God wash over you, and when you're listening, and afterwards, write down anything that you've learned, seen, or felt. Write down any names that you've been given, actions God wants you to take, people he wants you to bless or eat with, and so on. But even when I don't see or feel anything in my 5 minutes, I believe that by making myself open to him, it allows God to move supernaturally to work on the unseen things in my life. I don't think that we can talk about listening without putting it into practice here and now. Bit risky. So I'm going to have a quick prayer, and then I'm going to set an alarm for 5 minutes. And if that's okay with you, we're going to sit and wait patiently for the still small voice of our God. And then, if anyone has anything to share, that would be amazing. Heavenly Father, this is what you want. You want us to listen to you so that you can actually deeply have a relationship, a two-way relationship with us. It is so much easier for us to do all the talking, and so much harder, even in our real lives, let alone in our real lives with you. But Lord, here and now, we're going to open our hearts, we're going to open up our souls, we're going to open up our minds, and we ask you to come in your Holy Spirit and reveal something that you want to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, and the alarm is going on now. Five hours. Or did it feel like 2 minutes? It's funny time, isn't it? It's funny how sometimes when it's going, it can go fast and it can go slow. Did anyone get anything that they want to come? Ah, Mike, would you? You got Mike. Didn't think this through. Thank you.
I'm a chronic insomniac, which means that I'm up at strange hours of the night. I awake early, and when I awake, I'm wide awake, not just sort of, you know, coming round, as it were. And recently we went on holiday to Zante, my wife and I, and I was finding myself, you know, they were 2 hours in advance of the time over here, and I was finding myself waking at 5 o'clock. Which would be the equivalent of 3 o'clock in the UK. And, you know, I use the time that I lay there thinking to, you know, pray. And one of the things that I always find useful is the fact that I've got a Bible on my phone, so it's always handy. And one of the Psalms I love is one that we were talking about this morning, actually, which is Psalm 139. And the verse that really speaks to me in that is Psalm 139. And it's verse 17. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Now, where we were staying was a beautiful beach, and it's a beach that you can't go on overnight. And the reason you can't go on it overnight is because the turtles nest there, and they lay their eggs there, so to keep people away from those and destroying, you know, the local environment and the balance of things, they ask you not to go on the beach. And, you know, as I say, it was a beautiful beach. You could, you know, it stretched for miles, and it was a very gentle slope. You could go almost half a mile out before you were up to your neck in the water. So I just found, as I was spending that 5 minutes, I was thinking about that, about the gentle way in which the Lord can lead you.
Lovely.
To hear him if you let him.
Yeah, lovely. Thank you, Mike. Is anyone else that they got anything in that 5 minutes? Oh, I think you want me, okay, to come up.
Well, mine isn't a recent one, but it's fairly recent. But not while John was in the care home, but since he's died, I keep getting this feeling at night if I sort of come to that there's somebody in the bed with me. I don't mean in a bad way, just somebody there, a presence in the bed. And it's happening so often that I can't get it out of my mind, you know, just feel this presence when I know there's nobody there. But I just, I just feel it's the Lord just looking after me and comforting me, you know. So that's the first thing that came to my mind.
Lovely, thank you. Has anyone else got anything that they felt, thought, heard in that 5 minutes? As I was saying, if you don't feel anything, that doesn't mean to say that God isn't doing anything, though. Because sometimes there's stuff that we need getting done in our heads and in our hearts that we don't know, but he can just be busy behind the scenes. But sometimes if you're not in his presence, you're not allowing him to do that. So I just had a little something when I was there. I was sitting there, and it's ridiculous, but that's just how it is. But you know those really silly cartoons where they sort of like the top of your head flips open? That's the picture I had. The top of my head was flipped open, and God was just having a bit of a rummage. So it needs a good rummage. But it's things like that. I'm thinking, yeah, that means it's good. It's working. And I know that 15 to 20 minutes is probably preferable. But our life is in seasons. And in this season, I can do 5 minutes a day. I think we can all do 5 minutes a day. And I'd really, really love it. Just in your own heart, with God, decide. Actually, you're going to give it a go. 5 minutes. You can find 5 minutes. I can find 5 minutes. The book says 15 to 20 minutes once a week. So 15 to 20 minutes once a week as well. You know, go for that. I'm just saying, from my personal experience, every time I set the alarm clock for 15 to 20 minutes, someone was coming, Mum! And then if I'd wait till the end of the day, or Sue, to be fair. But 15 to 20 minutes at the end of the day didn't work for me because I was too tired. 15 to 20 minutes doesn't work at the start of the day because I just can't get up early. So 5 minutes worked for me. But please, not for my sake, not for God's sake, but for your sake, give it a go. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. That was great, wasn't it? Bless you, Sue. And don't forget to take away these. We'll leave them here on the stage. The band want to come up? And we'll leave them on the stage. We're just going to sing just a few songs just to close. And that was really helpful, Sue. Just to do that, just to pause and reflect. And the Lord was speaking to me, but I don't think I'll share. I think it's probably just for me and the Lord. So thank you for that. But it's about a personal choice, isn't it? It's this whole free will thing. I was speaking this morning at a church in Basildon, as I said, and I'm so grateful that God gave us free will, because he had to give us free will, didn't he, to accept him. Kind of, I know, my theology hasn't gone warped. But yet, sometimes I just kind of say, Lord, just tell me, and I'll be dutiful. But actually, he doesn't. He gives us the free will to choose when to engage with him, when to spend time with him, when to listen to him, when to eat with others and eat with him. And he gives us that freedom, doesn't he? Which is, sometimes it's really helpful, but sometimes it's just like, oh, really, really annoying. Or was that just me? You know, because it's just like he's depending on me to do it. And but it's also an act of surrender, isn't it? And I didn't know the songs for tonight. I just looked at them just a few moments ago. But we started by singing, it's about Calvary. And I want us to sing now. We're going to sing a few songs. But the first one I want us to sing is, is I Surrender. All to Jesus, I surrender. And it is about that, isn't it? It's about surrendering to God, to say, God, I'm gonna put myself at your feet, or, you know, not necessarily at your feet, but in your presence for 5 minutes, and I'm just going to say, Lord, I'm surrendering my life to you, because actually you've surrendered so much for me. And I'm going to sit, and we all know, don't we, that when we do it, and when we leave that place of surrender with Jesus, it's always a better encounter, isn't it? You know, God has encountered us, because he always does. Sometimes it's not the way we wanted him to encounter us, because sometimes it means that we have to change some things that he wants us to change. And a little bit of me was of that just a few moments ago. That's why I'm not going to share it, because between me and the Lord, just getting told off again, probably. But he does that because he loves me. But I have to come in full surrender to him. And actually, there's nobody greater or safer that we can just surrender ourselves to, is there? There's nobody greater and there's nobody safer that we can surrender to. Because he's not going to go, he's not going to say things. He's just going to accept us for where we're at and say, come on, you know I love you. You know you're precious to me. Let's keep going. Until that time when he calls us into his presence. So, excuse me, I have this cough. Apologies. I want us just to stay seated or stand or kneel if you want to. We don't tend to move around too much, but just let's sing this song as a commitment to the Lord tonight. All to Jesus, I surrender. And it might be a personal thing that you need to surrender to him over, or it might be just saying, "No, Lord, I'm going to surrender to you. I'm going to try and make some time this week to listen to you. 5 minutes. I love it. It's true though, isn't it? 5 minutes is probably just about our maximum. But all to Jesus I surrender. That's what he wants. He wants us to surrender to him. And as a surrender, he's going to speak to us. He's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. He's going to show us new things. But also, he's also going to say to us, can you sort that little thing out too? But in love, surely we should warmly accept him. So let's sing this song together as a prayer, as a commitment, all to Jesus. I think that's the next song. I hope it is. If not, quickly, let's sing it. All to Jesus. I surrender. Stand, sit, kneel, do whatever you need to do. But let's sing.